Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, be gracious and compassionate in this place today, so all can come to know and experience your gentle love. Bring healing to the hurting hearts. Bring your gracious compassion to bear. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. From Luke chapter 17, today we heard of the healing of the 10 lepers. Luke begins telling of the event of the healing of the 10 lepers in a manner to remind us where Jesus is going. Luke has been bringing these reminders up over and over ever since Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And though from then, the end of chapter 9 of Luke, from then on, the events recorded by Luke have that overcast, that constant theme of where Jesus is going, he's heading to the cross. They are part and parcel of what is to come. And this fits exactly into Luke's purpose of writing his gospel. So I remind you from Luke chapter 1. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the Lord. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seems good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. So the third certainty is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so beginning in Luke chapter 9, towards the end of it, Jesus' journey is now focused on going to Jerusalem, where he will be crucified, risen, and ascended. Those great things to come. So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He'll be betrayed there. He'll be crucified there. But where he is, he needs to travel through the areas of Galilee and Samaria. So Jesus is up here in the north, and he needs to head south to Jerusalem. And the topography of the land doesn't mean you can go straight as the crow goes. It's actually very rugged terrain. Hills and valleys and mountains that rise up and down. You actually have to follow the wadis, the dry riverbeds and such, to make it through the various areas. The roads that follow those winding valleys are the easiest way to travel. In Jerusalem, it sits 2,600 feet above sea level, and it's bounded by three valleys. So traveling through those valleys is the way you get between Samaria and Galilee to Jerusalem. As Jesus and the group of disciples traveling with him, they're on their way to Jerusalem. They're traveling through these areas, and they're heading into a village. And as they head into this village, a cry from the distance starts reaching Jesus' ears. And the cry is, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." The word translated as pity here in the New International Version is more often translated in other translations of the Bible as have mercy or have compassion on us. The 10 lepers are crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy. Jesus, Master, have compassion. Look at us. See our state. What can you do?" Now, why would these 10 seek Jesus? Why would they go searching for him and crying out for this healing miracle? Well, as it turns out, in this same area, previously when Jesus passed through, a man with leprosy was healed. The 10 men would have heard about Jesus' compassion toward this leper. Luke chapter 5 is where you can find this encounter. A man with leprosy falls at Jesus' feet. He falls face down before Jesus and begs, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Then Luke tells us what Jesus did. Jesus actually reached out and touched the leper. This is in Luke chapter 5. Jesus reaches out and touched the leper. This is unheard of. You do not touch someone that has leprosy, a disease of the skin. You just don't do it. You'll be ceremonial unclean, and more than that, you may catch what they have. Touching a man with leprosy, it is compassion, it is tenderness, the graciousness of the jester. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And just picture this in your mind. Jesus reaches out and says, I'm willing, and touches him. I'm willing. Be clean. To the leper, Jesus then is showing how precious and gracious and tender he truly is, valuing this man as a person. It's unheard of touching a leper, but Jesus touches him. You are a valuable person. You're not an outcast to be avoided, not an outcast to be left alone, not to be shunned forever. Jesus reaches out, touches him. I'm willing, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left the man. Jesus then speaks to the man this, Luke chapter 5, verse 14. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for the cleansing as a testimony to them. The news of this man's leprosy healing spread all through the area. And as a result, all people from all over came to hear Jesus and be healed of their sicknesses. That's included in Luke chapter 5 also. So the word of Jesus in this area is now spreading throughout this area. People are coming to Jesus. I can tell you, and you've probably experienced it too, loneliness is not fun. Being all alone, cut off from family, cut off from friends. And here as a leper, you'd be living in the valleys or the hills or in caves. You'd have to leave the villages. You have to leave a house. There is no place you would be welcome. That is loneliness. So if you've experienced loneliness, now magnify this loneliness. And on top of that, as you go about, you're required to call out unclean, unclean as you went from place to place. They must avoid all contact. And also it's written about that they have to stay downwind of people too. So if the wind changes direction, you better move quickly. It was a terrible way to live. These ten men in Luke chapter 17 were miserable. Some of the most miserable men. And in their misery, you can get an idea how miserable they are. Because in their misery, they ignored the ethnicity of each other. Because there was a Samaritan among them. So here are Jewish men and Samaritan, at least one Samaritan with them. A Jew and a Samaritan together. No, living together, you don't do that. But because of their despised situation, they couldn't stand the loneliness. So even a Samaritan was a part of them. Disheveled and wrapped in bandages. I mean, a pitiful sight to see. And when most people saw these 10 men, they would ignore them. They would avoid them. They'd go to the other direction. They may even stick their finger to the wind after licking, going, okay, which way is the wind blowing? So they're not upwind from me. And to these men, news came that Jesus was in the area. Others have been healed by Jesus. Let's go to Jesus. And the 10 come near, and the group traveling with Jesus. And so they begin to cry out, crying, Jesus, Master, have mercy. Over and over they cry, have mercy, Jesus, Master. Have mercy, have mercy. Can you just hear their voices as the voices are cracking with their agony and their earnestness? Have mercy. Have mercy. Will he heal? When Jesus saw them, Luke writes, when Jesus saw them, This word translated as saw, it carries a metaphorical meaning. There's numerous words you can use to talk about seeing someone in the Greek language. Just like there's numerous words in the Greek language for the English word love, there's numerous words in the Greek language to see. And this word, chosen intentionally, has a metaphorical meaning that sees with spiritual perception, to see with the mind. Jesus looked at them and spiritually discerning them, saw something in them. So Jesus was moved to speak to them a command. Jesus perceives that his spoken word to them would impact them and they would obey, they would follow what Jesus said. Luke chapter 17, verse 14. When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." First of all, I want you to notice the consistency of Jesus with regards to the Word of God. Just as he said in Luke chapter 5, "Go, show yourself to the priest," Jesus says here in Luke chapter 17 to the lepers, "Go, show yourself to the priests." This time in Luke 17, Jesus did not come near to them, nor did Jesus reach out and touch the men. And also the healing wasn't immediate as it was in Luke chapter 5. The healing came, the healing came as they responded to Jesus' words, "Go, show yourself to the priests." Here you are, leper, you're crying out, "Lord, have mercy, Jesus, have mercy, Master, have mercy," you're covered in your bandages, and he doesn't touch you, doesn't come near you, he simply says, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." Would you go? Would you take Jesus at his word and respond to his word and obey his word? These 10 did. This time, Jesus didn't come near, didn't touch him, but still the command was given, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." The healing came as they were walking towards the priests. As they went, they were cleansed. It is written in Luke chapter 17. And the way that it's written in Luke 17, the impression is there that the 10 had traveled a considerable distance away. They had traveled away and out of sight. "Go, show yourself to the priests" is exactly in accordance with the scriptures. You can find it in Leviticus chapter 14. In Leviticus chapter 14, you'll find how people who have diseases of the skin are to show themselves to the priest. And the priest is the one to examine. And it's the priest that will declare the person whole, the person clean. And then the priest would offer the sacrifices required of the law. These words of Jesus are words of mercy. They're words of compassion. For sending these people, these 10 lepers, to the priest, the priest would be the one to declare them clean. The priest would be the one to offer the sacrifices required by law to declare them clean. And only after the priest declares you clean and the sacrifices happen can you return to society, to return to family, return to home. Jesus was saying, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." Jesus is saying, "I'm giving your life back. You can return home. You can return to family. You will be healed and made whole again and be able to enter back into the life of the community." That's grace. That is compassion. He's given them their life back. So it's more than simply healing of the skin. It's giving them life. This is huge. As the 10 were traveling towards the priest and they were acting upon Jesus' words, their skin was returned to brand new, whole and healthy. One, just one, when he realized he was whole and clean, one, just one, that one had to return to Jesus. All the way back to Jesus, it seems, he was shouting, according to Luke chapter 17, he was shouting glorious praises to God at the top of his lungs. He couldn't contain himself. He just had to praise God. He came to Jesus, and he fell prostrate before Jesus and gives thanks. The word here, giving thanks, Luke writes the word Eucharistan. Eucharistan is made up of two words. It's a compound word in the root word, and it means good, grace. And Eucharistan literally means thanking God for God's good grace. And Eucharistan's root word is Eucharisto. And that Eucharisto is that two words, good grace. And from Eucharisto, we get the word Eucharist, the great Thanksgiving, Holy Communion. So this one who returned is crying out thanks to the good grace that has been shown him, Eucharistan. And a little while later in worship this morning, we will be celebrating the Eucharist. Are you making the connection? Good grace. It is God's good grace to us. Only one came back to give this thanks for the good grace that was shown to him, and this one was a Samaritan. All 10 were cleansed, and only a Samaritan, a foreigner, came back to give glory to God. The implication is the other 9 were not foreigners. In other words, the other 9 must be Jewish children, and being Jewish, they must be children of the covenant. They should know God. They should know the goodness of God. But yet it's the foreigner, the Samaritan, that recognized and acknowledged God's good grace working well in him, the healing. And those who know the covenant didn't recognize it. Jesus here in this moment is making real his nature. Jesus, fully man and fully God at the same time, making known the nature of the living God. This action is God's grace. And it works and flows from the nature that is in Jesus, who is fully God. Psalm 11, verse 4 tells us about the Lord God. Psalm 111, verse 4, the second part. We heard it this morning. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. Well, you see him being expressed to the 10 lepers and the one recognizing it as good grace, as God's grace. Eucharistan, it's compassion and grace. When you see Jesus, the gracious and compassionate actions of Jesus, in reality, what you are seeing is the living God. And that living God's nature is revealed in what we call the Old Testament scriptures as gracious and compassionate. Paul makes it clear to us when he writes in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, speaking of Jesus, Paul says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. What you see in Jesus is God. The actions of Jesus, then, are actions of God. And we see grace and compassion in action. We are seeing the reality of the living God as revealed in the Scriptures. Throughout the Old Testament, God is revealed over and over and over again as gracious, as compassionate. You'll find descriptions over and over as gracious and compassionate. Now, how does this jibe in your own heart when you draw a picture of the Lord God? Does gracious and compassionate, the first thing you come about when you want to draw that image of God? Figure out what is God to you in your life situation. God dealing with your heart and your brokenness before holy God. Are you truly aware of the gracious and compassionate living God? Do you realize how much the Lord God wants you to be his own precious child? You find it all through the Old Testament scriptures, and you see it in the Gospels, and it's all through the letters of the New Testament. You see it, it's all through there. God is gracious and compassionate. God is gracious and compassionate. Moses, when he asked to see the glory of God, this is written at the end of Exodus chapter 33, Moses says, "Let me see your glory." And God answers that all his goodness will pass by. And as his goodness passes by, his presence passes by, the Lord will proclaim his name. You'll find in Exodus 34, the Lord hides Moses in a cleft of a rock and passes by. And now I want you to make this connection in your heart and soul. As the name that the Lord proclaims as he passes by, you see lived out in Jesus, who is the only Son of the living God, begotten, not made. He is fully God as well as fully man. So this is what the Lord God proclaims in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, as he passes by Moses, hidden in the rock of the cleft. The Lord proclaims, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. What you see taking place here in Luke chapter 17, the healing of the 10 lepers, you see a gracious and compassionate action. You see the very nature of God. The Lord in Exodus 34 could have proclaimed anything about himself. Holiness, he didn't say righteousness. The first thing after proclaiming his name, the Lord, the description is compassionate and gracious God. Let that sink in. Compassionate and gracious God. And then scan across the horizons of all the religions on earth. Do any of them proclaim a gracious and compassionate God? None of them do. It's only in the faith that's written about in the Holy Scriptures, the living, true God, you'll find compassionate and gracious God. And that's why you see Jesus on the way to Jerusalem. Even though what's going to happen to him in Jerusalem, betrayal, brutality, crucifixion, dying. Why? For your sin. Not for his sin, for your sin. That is the Lord your God being gracious and compassionate to you. The call to repent and believe. The call to change your heart and change your life. They are compassion and graciousness speaking to you. Jesus dying on the cross is the compassionate and gracious God paying the redeeming price. Is all of this fitting together? And you read about in the Old Testament God judging the idol worshipers and the false worship of Canaan and all the things they did. That again is the gracious and compassionate God in action. Yes, it comes out as wrath, but it's putting an end to evil of those false worship practices. God is gracious and compassionate. Do you know that in your own life, in your own heart? When you gather at the kneelers and receive the body and blood of Christ, the Eucharist, that is gracious and compassionate work of God to bless you, the forgiveness of sin. God is so compassionate, so gracious, so eagerly desiring you to be his redeemed child. For you to repent and believe Jesus is the Christ. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of the word of God. That's the power of this moment in God's holy presence. You truly are forgiven. And just as the lepers go and show yourself to the priest. And when they're declared clean, they were given a whole life back in community. Now you, children of God, declared clean by the precious blood of Christ. You have been given eternal life. Be I a good, compassionate, gracious God who is the Lord. So when you see Jesus, you see the living God. When you see compassion and graciousness in action through the healings and dying on the cross and rising again, you see how much the Lord desires you to be his own. And in being his own, you have the privilege of being children of God and going to your Father in prayer and given a whole new life. You don't have to continue in your brokenness. You don't have to continue in your pain. You can find healing in Jesus and be set free. That's the power of this gospel. Set free in Jesus' name. Amen.